Expressed in the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Being Found Show, the greatest one-hour terrestrial slash podcast radio show about small business in the entire world.
That's right.
I'm working on my drama.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Goosebumps.
Great. So, we are a show helping small business to get found on the web, and that's what we're going to help you do today. You know, first up, we got a little bit of local news for our local listeners. There's a giveaway here in town.
Yeah, just to let everyone know, literally starting 6 minutes ago, Reiner Slaughter is giving away 1,000 life jackets to children under the age of 14. So if you've got kids under 14, go to their office, you can go to their website and find out all the details there. But free life jackets. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, for people not from the area, they may not know that we are really sort of based in summer tourism because we're surrounded by lakes, and this is a real nice thing to do here locally.
Yeah. And, it, you know, the whole thing is to promote boating safety, so.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Good deal.
All right, so up here on the Being Found show today, we've been asked to sort of cover backlinking and how to get started and really what backlinking is. I feel like it's one of those buzzwords I'm constantly talking to clients or people, and they're just, oh, well, how many backlinks do they have? You know, they always want to know how many. Oh, well, we got like 5 new backlinks. Sorry. And the idea of like having the backlinks is everybody's looking for a quantifiable number, and we all tend to be. It's just, as you dig deeper, you know, what is that quantifiable number, you know? So it's really not the amount of backlinks. I mean, you could have 5 terrible backlinks that could straight up hurt you. Mm-hmm. But maybe we should explain what a backlink is. I think the word itself is somewhat self-explanatory. But so you got your website, and there is another website with a link on it that links back to you. That, in its simplest form, is what a backlink is. And then to help people understand how backlinks help you, I figure we should probably cover that as well. My easiest way to explain how SEO works to help people understand is on the most rudimentary level, you think of your website as a colander. And there's 2 ways to hold liquid in the colander. There's pour more liquid into it, and there's plug more holes. So on-site optimization, when you go through your website and you do little things to make it great, you're plugging holes. And when you're doing stuff that's not on your website, you're pouring more juice into it. And really, bottom line is, if you have more juice in your colander than your competitor, you're going to get more traffic. But that being said, there are some backlinks that are maybe like pouring acid in there. Poking more holes, you know. Yeah. But it's really, really rare. You know, people are always talking like, we're going to disavow links. We're going to go through. We're going to do all this stuff. You know, Google doesn't really penalize you for the little stuff. You know, they really kind of come through, and they tend to warn you when they do, you know. So there's not a lot of blacklisting going on. People would have you believe that. So our show today, backlinks, what they are, how it's important. So, you know, we've told you that. We've told you how they work. And so when you're listening to your SEO company, you're going to hear a lot about citations. What a citation is, as opposed to a backlink. Now, a lot of citations come with a link, but a citation is like, don't think about getting pulled over for driving too fast. Think about a book, citing another book. Mm-hmm. So, you know, any mention of your business on another site that isn't linked back is what's considered a citation. And these citations are mentions, you know. Normally a citation is more like a profile or something like that. A mention might be that somebody's talking about you in a big paragraph and they happen to mention you. So this show is basically going to cover a lot of the strategies for really getting started with backlinking, expanding on that a little bit, and then maybe some more advanced stuff. But before we get into that, we definitely need to throw out there that the best way to build backlinks is by creating quality content, creating a need or fulfilling a need, you know. So if you write a great article and a bunch of people share it and a bunch of people talk about it and a bunch of people link back to it, you know, to hit you with the buzzword if it goes viral, you know, there is no better backlinking situation than that. Because a lot of backlinking, you know, you're manually going out there and you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You got a big list of sites and you're going through and you're saying, hey, please, 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 please. You know, but if you write this great stuff, you know, all internet users are consumers. You know, here Jake and I are creators, but so I'm sure we all fall victim to clickbait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in SEO, we have what's called linkbait. Basically, we've created something, we've created an article, we've created a resource, something that's funny for our industry, and it caused people to see it, link to it, share it, linkbait. You know, so. That is really ultimately the best way to do things. But the rest of the show is really going to dig through how you get started because, you know, there's this like a reverse point of no return, this point where you could have the greatest, funniest idea that everybody's going to like and everybody's going to share. And you can put it out there, put it on your website to no traffic, and share it on your Facebook to your grandma and your aunt. And really, it's just not going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's definitely the foundational stuff that you kind of have to do to create those audiences and create those, create an environment where if you do create this great content, people are likely to pick up on
it. Yeah, so you can't fake it. It's got to have some value.
Right.
And
you have to have somebody to show it to.
Yeah.
You know, if nobody comes, you know, the internet is it's ridiculous, Field of Dreams. But if you build it, they will come is not the case on the internet.
Yeah.
Right. It's about as likely as you building a baseball field in the middle of a cornfield in the middle of a middle America and having it be super populated by people from all over the world, including dead guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, I heard that happen.
Right. It's about as likely. It's about as likely. All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk about your first step to creating backlinks for your website. You know, if you're a business owner, this is still interesting because you can make sure that your SEO company is doing these things. Come on back. You're listening to The Beaten Found Show.
Plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I got to ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
We want you to camp, we want you to hear, we want you to dance, dance all night long, but when the music starts...
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. We're talking about backlinks and creating backlinks for your websites. And, you know, even right down to SEO companies and marketing companies, they have a hard time doing backlinks.
Yeah, it's tough work.
You know, backlinks is like... the jump from local marketing to national marketing, and the jump from highly competitive local marketing, because a lot of the ranking factors for local, basically there's much more important ranking factors for local until you start hitting this competition level or unless you're able to get these really massive backlinks. You know, so for local, as long as you're focusing on reviews and your citations and on-site optimization, you got all that wrapped up, but you're still not getting up in there, you know, that's when you start focusing on some backlinks and making sure that, you know, you're doing some battle. You know, as ridiculous as this sounds, really marketing in general, especially on the internet where it's numbers and quantifiable and stuff like that, you know, in the real world, it maybe gets a little more abstract, but in the virtual world, it really is a strategic battle of numbers.
Yeah, very trackable.
Right. Yeah. You know, and what your enemy has, you know, you need to have too. They have 10 troops, we need 10 troops, but we need that 11th troop with a bazooka.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure how to put it. I don't know my warfare. All right, so up here we got cleaning up what you have. So your website inevitably has some backlinks out there, and really... a big part of this is taking those backlinks and really finding out where they are and where they aren't. That sounds ridiculous, but maybe I'll just explain how to do this, and this will come through in what exactly it is. So in Google, there's things called search operators. So, like, let's say I want to go to the dance, and I search for I want to go to the dance. And I get a bunch of results, and they're not what I want. And but I want to make sure that the word dance is included in all of the pages. So I say, I want to go to the dance in quotes. I put dance in quotes. And that word dance will show up in all of my results no matter what. Now, if I put, I want to go to the dance in quotes entirely, I will only get results that contain the phrase, I want to go to the dance. Mm-hmm. And this is what we use to really sort of find where our backlinks are. So we search for our own business name. And then if you have a site with a reasonable amount of content on it, there's also a search operator to exclude your own website. So you don't have to go through those URLs. So now we're left with a list of websites that mention your business by name. And then we start going through those. We start looking at each one of those, and we say, is this business information right? Is there a link here? Is the link correct? You know, we make sure that all of these are cleaned up, and we check them off. Another thing that you need to remember is that we're going through and we're making sure that these things are right, meaning there might be a lot out there that are wrong. So if you put the quotes on there, you might want to loosen that up and even put variations of your business name or
an old business name
or an old business. Oh, especially an old business name. Yeah. If you haven't done that cleanup, if you made a change like that or you purchased the company.
Yeah. If you're an LLC, try it with, without. There's going to be a lot of different variations out there you want to check on.
Right. And so you basically just want to go through and verify. You're going to find that a lot of this stuff is actually accurate, but that's good to know. It's good to know that it's out there and accurate. But you're also going to find quite a few situations where it is not accurate. To me, what I tend to find that's not accurate has little to do with backlinking, but it does have to do with your trust factor and reputation is the phone number. It's always some sort of screwy combination of, well, that's my personal number, oh, that's our Google Voice number, oh, that's the old office number, you know. It's like they don't have a set number that they use, or it's constantly evolving with technology, you know. Because, like, I was giving my phone number to somebody last night, ran into an old friend, and his wife, he can't figure out how to work the phone, apparently. Sorry, Scott. So his wife's putting it into the phone, and she asked me, as she's putting it in, she's all, this is mobile, right? And I'm just all, I totally forgot there was anything other than mobile.
Like, nope, that's our landline.
Yeah, I haven't had a landline in like years, you know. Basically, I had a landline until, I think my youngest kid got a cell phone when she was like 10 or 11. So that was like 7 years ago. So I haven't had a landline for 7 years, but.
I do want to add one thing, and this is an issue that I've bumped into recently that you kind of just touched on, and that is that we have a client who has some pretty sophisticated marketing set up on their website. So depending on where you come to the website from, it changes the phone number in the header. Google picked up on this and changed it in Google My Business. Mm-hmm. So we had to call them and say, hey, why did you change our phone number? And they said, well, this is the one we found in your header. But when we get on, it's actually a completely different phone number. Is there? Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, I definitely can. And I would say that make sure that so what this is call tracking. And so there's a JavaScript sort of thing going like, if the referring URL is this, then show this number, right? So they probably have some sort of Google AdWords that has a call tracking number. And basically Google got there via their own AdWords link and said, hey, this is the number, so we're going to populate it with this, because they figure that Google AdWords is very trustworthy.
Yeah.
Does this site have schema or H-card or any of that stuff on it?
They do, yeah.
Okay, so we might address some of that and make sure that there are primary and secondary numbers and sort of secretly slip in those numbers, those other numbers, into schema as secondary numbers and give ourselves a primary location number in that schema for Google to basically come through.
Okay.
And then also the way they set up their call tracking might be a problem. So you might be going directly to the site and seeing the phone number that you want, right? But the way that this call tracking works is that it's based off the referring URL. So where did this come from? This person, when they put in their call tracking for this AdWords, they might have been a little too loose, and this number might be switching for any traffic from Google, not just for the AdWords.
Hmm.
And so you might search the business, follow that link, and see what phone number is showing up.
So just to kind of reel it all in, because that was the headiest conversation I think we've had on the show in a while. No, it's okay. So as you have your website, make sure you're being consistent in the phone numbers you're using and where you're putting them, making sure you identify your primary and secondary numbers, hopefully so that Google and other bots that crawl your site can identify that primary phone that you use as your phone number.
Right. So if you're having a problem with a secondary number being acknowledged as a primary, let's make it clear it's a secondary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right. So, obviously this is a prime example of we're going through websites and we find things on these off sites that are not accurate, you know, and really what we're dealing there with the phone number is either a mention or a citation. So another thing to do for cleaning up your backlinks when you're dealing with what you have is, of course, searching for your domain name.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest you just leave off the www. You just type in example.com because that'll be all-encompassing. And once again, you go through the list and you make sure that all that stuff is accurate, and you look for link possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, like we were saying, is searching for your phone number specifically. But now that you bring that up, I would say search for all those secondary phone numbers as well, because you might find quite a few things that need to be cleaned up and quite a few backlinking possibilities at the time.
Yeah, as smart as these bots are, they're still pretty stupid.
they're still bots.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. But on our other show, we were talking about this, that you have to be careful. My buddy John, my wife makes fun of John saying that he has an abusive relationship with Alexa, you know, because he's constantly, like, yelling at that thing and, like, telling it to shut up. And, like, he's totally just abusive to
her. Wow.
Yeah.
A poor thing.
Yeah, but Alexa someday, man, is going to grow some legs. And
Alexa is Skynet.
Yeah. Alexa's going to bring this situation down. But, so your number one best place to get started with building backlinks is to clean up what you have and track it. You need to start that list. And, before you start adding this new stuff to it, you know, you add it all to a list and you go through and you check it off. Has it been done? Is it been done? If you're reaching out to people, when did I reach out to them and have they gotten back to me? You know, I got to warn you, a lot of them are not going to get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just sort of the way of the internet, man. More pages created every day than people on the planet, probably.
Yeah. And, just the developing that consistency over a lot of different sites is really going to – I think that was – Moz actually made a pie chart. I'll see if maybe we can put it in this in the blog when we put this on the website.
Yeah.
That pie chart shows local ranking factors by percentage, and this link building was way up there. It was in the top three for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are a lot of SEO companies that work solely off of link building.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go and you hire them and you say, oh, well, do you need access to my website in order to clean up this, that, and the other thing? They don't even want it. They just go out there and they build your links. Mm-hmm. Thousands upon thousands of links, and most of them are shady. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. Shady is not the right word. Most of them are not very powerful. You know, they're not ones that are going to hurt you.
But,
It takes a lot to get a link that's going to hurt you. You know, I don't want to cover any shady topics, but I'm sure all of you can think of all the topics and types of websites that you probably don't want links from.
Do we have time to talk about what a non-helpful link might look like if someone's trying to sell you one?
Yeah. We'll cover it real quick. We're about to go to commercial. So a non-helpful link or a bad backlink definitely would come from a site dealing with, you know, pornography or something like that, or what's called a link wheel, where they're basically, let's say you have thousands of backlinks coming into your site that all say the same thing, or they're all coming from a personal blog network. One guy owns it all coming from one IP address, and he's sort of trying to manipulate backlinks. You know, and that's where those shady things tend to come from. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. When we come back, there's more about backlinking, leveling the playing field with your competitors.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851. Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-393.
NHL star Matt Martin for American Humane.
Hi, I'm Matt Martin, and in all my years of playing professional hockey, I've gotten my share of bruises and injuries. But for many who really put their lives on the line every day, it's not always the injuries you can see that hurt the most. I'm talking about our veterans. Every single day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And tragically, 20 take their own lives. When medications and therapy don't help, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane, serving the U.S. military for over 100 years, has put together a free guide to help veterans obtain these life-saving service animals. If you are a veteran or know a veteran struggling with PTS, please go to AmericanHumane.org for this free, downloadable resource. Let's give our veterans the help they need to win their battle.
For more information, visit AmericanHumane.org.
All right, welcome back to The Being Found Show. We're talking about backlinks for your small, medium-sized business and making sure that you're out there. Coming up here, we're going to be talking about leveling the playing field with your competitors. But first, we got a quick tip here, Jake.
Yeah, so we're going to start doing these quick tips from time to time. And this week is our first one, so...
So no introduction music?
No. Well, drum roll. There we go.
Jake.
So this week's quick tip is build an automated email marketing campaign. Now, what that means is you can get on to MailChimp for free and set up emails to go out when people do certain things on your websites. Now, you also have to have them opt into that that email. But once you've done it, here's some quick statistics on what that means. So the channel continues to outperform all others, and research is showing that you get a return of your investment of around 4,300%, which is huge. I mean,
yeah. So for the math out there for you, you know, 100% is like all of it. 4,300% is 43 all of it.
43 times.
Yeah.
At least. So 80% of people say they've received marketing message alongside their personal emails on a daily basis. So that's for those people who say, well, they never get them. Actually, they do. 70% of people say they use coupons or discounts they get from that email. And 60% of people say receiving special offers is the top reason they subscribe to an email list from a business. So if you especially have an e-commerce store, really consider using an automated emailing campaign to drive customers to buy your products.
So this is not necessarily like sign up for our newsletter stuff. This is like when I go to a website and they pop up the box that says, do you want to receive updates and stuff like that from this website? And so that's why it's always popping up, because basically if I visit that website again 10 weeks from now, it's going to say, hey, you were here, and let's send them something enticing to get them more interested.
Yeah, and in my email inbox, I've got no less than 10 or 15 emails that say, hey, July 4th sale coming up.
Right.
Now, I may not even want to buy anything right now, but if I did, you can bet I'm going to go to one of those sales I know that I have in my inbox.
Mostly hot dogs and fireworks.
Well, yeah.
Big, huge sale on hot dogs
and
fireworks.
In my case, I bought a mattress recently, so they're all mattress companies, but...
Right. Oh, yeah. Mattresses, man. The radio, the world is just like full of like mattress activity.
That's right.
It
well, it's
crazy.
It's an industry that's changed because of technology, big time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like the old sales model, and they're still in town. You go, and it's like a car lot. You test drive your mattress. There's a salesman. He bites your ankle as soon as you go in, and you drag him around the shop floor.
Bites your ankle. And
but now... Now you go online, you choose your firmness level, you choose your whatever you want, and they mail it to your door. You have 100 nights to sleep on it. If you don't like it, they'll send someone to pick it up, offer to exchange it, or you just go somewhere else.
Really?
Yes. And it's so easy. I don't have a truck, so I couldn't transport one, but, I mean, I digress. We're way off topic.
I don't know. This is important because my wife and I have had the same mattress for an embarrassing amount of time, and I'm not even willing to admit how long it is.
The mattress industry has changed because of e-commerce.
All right.
It's huge.
So I'm getting into mattresses. Next show, all about mattresses. But for now, we're going to return to backlink building for your website. And in the first segment, we talked about sort of establishing what you have and making sure that what you have is on par and ready to go and all that stuff. And now this next one is going to be about leveling the playing field. You know, a lot of the tactics are the same as the first one, but instead we're going to apply it to our competitors. So, you know, a great way to start here is to figure out what backlinks do your biggest competitors have.
Hmm.
Now, just like you, they're going to have a lot of terrible, terrible links, you know. So a good way to narrow this down is, like, let's say get our three biggest competitors, and we find out what backlinks they have. And then we find out which backlinks they share. Because chances are they're doing battle with one another, and here we are coming to the field, and we're going to do some battle. So basically, remember, we're dealing with the colander and pouring juice in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to pour the exact same juice in our colander that they're getting in their colander.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how you start. And then if you want to narrow it down further, of course, you know, this is a one-by-one basis. This is going through. This is making sure that things happen. So you can narrow it down by saying, okay, here are my three competitors. Here are the backlinks that they share. Now let's figure out the quality of those backlinks that they share, and let's start with the best and work our way down, because that's where we're going to get the most bang for our buck.
And are you familiar with any tools you can use to determine the quality?
I tend to use Moz.
Okay.
You know, but Moz can be a little expensive, so there are some other tools out there that are free and stuff like that. But really, if you're planning on doing some competition, you know, Moz is a great tool to own.
Okay.
Your next step might be to figure out what backlinks your allies have, you know. Consider this warfare, you know. I know it sounds terrible, but it is. You know, you are doing warfare, and you have allies. Unfortunately, your allies are also your competitors' allies a lot of the time. Because your allies are your suppliers and your marketers, people who are making money off of the industry and sending you leads and so on and so forth, or sending you equipment. So by finding out the backlinks that they have, we now have a whole new list to basically say, what's the good quality stuff in here and what can we go after here?
Hmm.
And then you're doing the same thing that you're doing when you were researching yourself. So just in case that moved too quickly through there. So we get our competitor, and we're going to search up our competitor's name. And we're going to search up their domain name, and we're going to search up their phone number. And this is where we're going to get the list of sites that reference back to these other sites. And really, that's what you're doing, you know. And that will take up a huge amount of time, frankly. You know, that's why you definitely want to be careful and organize them in the realm of something more. Now, all that being said, there is a lot you can do to move beyond cleaning up your presence and basically mooching off of your competitor's presence. Chances are you're not going to get to the next stuff for months unless you're paying somebody, and that somebody is really, contributing a lot of time. A lot of people go, well, I pay my SEO guy $500 a month. I pay him $500 a month. All this stuff should have been taken care of, right? Well, let's break that down. Let's say your SEO company makes $50 an hour. And that's shooting it probably a little low. That means that they are basically doing 2.5 hours worth of work for you a week. And so, no, it's not necessarily all done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to realize that just like any other war, it is not only a battle on the battlefield, it's a battle of resources. And that's why when you're a lawyer, you are spending thousands of dollars a month.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are a hot dog shop, you are not.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, we're coming up on the break here, but let's start into going beyond with our next steps, because some of these you can really start now, although you won't see the fruits of your labors until later. And a great one to start right off the bat is building relationships. Involving yourself with industry, social media. Now, I am not talking about involving yourself with social media and your fans and stuff like that. I'm talking about industry leaders, other people in your industry, marketing, like people who are supplying you with things, you know, basically influencers who are able to get that stuff out there. So we're coming up on commercial break. We're going to cover that a little bit more when we come back. You're listening to The Being Found Show.
You know my next door neighbor about to make me lose my mind. You know my next door neighbor about to make me lose my mind.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton-Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at GenerationsTalkRadio.com.
Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo return this August to Reading's Cascade Theater. These two are still rocking after 39 years together. Four-time Grammy winners Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo bring their band and their hits to the Cascade August 6th. Get tickets and limited VIP passes today at 530-243-8877 or CascadeTheater.org.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody's Tuesday mad. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. We are talking about building backlinks for your website. We've already covered how to make sure that the backlinks that you have are quality and well done and put together correctly and linking to the right places. And then our second dig into that one was exploiting your competitors' backlinks and making sure that you got the same stuff. Because remember, we talked at the beginning that SEO is a lot like a colander. When you're working on-site, you're plugging holes, and when you're doing things like backlinks, you're pouring in water. Your goal is to have more water than your competitors. So before we went to break, we were talking about building relationships, and that's something you can do in the beginning, but it's really sort of a more advanced tactic that's going to help you later. But, you know, getting started now with quality relationships, sharing other people's stuff, and getting out there. So, you know, it might be a little confusing. You know, a lot of companies, like, let's say I'm a plumber, and I want to get out there and I want to be the best I can be in the online plumbing community, which, for those of you that snirked a little there, yes, there's an online plumbing community.
Right. Yeah. And plumbers make a great deal of money, too.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they do. They definitely can.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll make more with more backlinks, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Your goal is not necessarily to show off to your competitors how great you are. So bear this in mind when you're on there. You know, starting relationships with companies that use plumbers. So basically, let's say I have a construction company that I have a relationship with, and I always share and like their stuff. You know, they're going to come through and do the same for me. So I don't want to go through and find a bunch of plumbing companies to be friends with. I want to find a bunch of potential partnerships to be friends with. And this moves right into the next one, which is like mentioning other businesses in posts and shares. Any business that's out there sort of doing this higher level of battle is going to be tracking their own name and their own mentions. And so when you're out there mentioning other people who you're finding being impressed, once again, not your competitors, but sort of industry partnerships. I guess, you know, a lot of you out there are probably familiar with lead groups. So this is not unlike an impromptu lead group. You know, you're not surrounding yourselves with other plumbers.
Mm-hmm.
You are surrounding yourselves with other people that use plumbers and other people that can help you and you can help them. You know, so you're creating this sort of impromptu lead group. So mentioning these other businesses and stuff like that can really start that to happen. Or mentioning, even like in our industry, mentioning a tool, you know, mentioning a website, you know, something like that. Hey, we got this great information from Moz.com. And then a company like Moz is much more apt to come along and get it and share it on their social media because they picked that up. another one is to recover your dead backlinks. This is maybe a little technical, so we'll run over it really quick. But in Google My Business, not Google My Business, sorry, it's early. I'm only halfway through my cup of coffee. In Google Webmaster Tools, you can extract a list of backlinks to your website. And in doing so, you can figure out what pages they link to and if the pages they link to are even there anymore. So if you have a bunch of backlinks that are going to what's called a 404 on your site, which is no response code, you can clean that up and redirect that page to a relevant page. You know, and that's really a big deal, especially when you start hitting a larger site, because 404s can really go unchecked if you start to lose track of them. So this one's kind of a funny one. Another fun one for exploiting your competition. So when you're building a website, there's trust factor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that trust factor is where do I link to? You know, so let's say I'm doing a page about Redding, California. I'm going to link to Redding.gov. I'm going to link to Redding's Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of places that people link to. And this is all important for your SEO, to have outbound links of quality.
Mm-hmm.
Because people always think that, you know, just to remind you, your number one goal is to get people to your website to convert, to give you money. Your number two goal is to help people online move across the internet with ease and quality. If you're confused about what that means, go to Being Found. You can check it on one of our last shows. It should be labeled on there. I don't have it in front of me, but basically you do have a secondary goal for those that don't convert because it's good for SEO. So all of your competitors are, chances are they're linking to specific websites because they're playing the game as well. So let's say I have three competing plumbers that are all linking to John's Pipe Supply. If I go to John's Pipe Supply and I get a backlink from that page on John's Pipe Supply, not only am I getting a backlink from John's Pipe Supply, but my own competitors are inadvertently backing up the link and making my link stronger that's going to my site.
I love it.
Right.
This really is combat right now.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure if that was, like, too confusing, but that's exploiting your competitors' backlinks. Basically, wherever your competitors are linking to most, if we can get links from there,
mm-hmm.
we are getting super strong industry links because we're getting all of our competitors basically linking to us through a chain, at least. Turn your mentions into backlinks. This one's time-consuming, something that you can start right off the bat. We kind of talked about this a little bit in the second segment, but this might help. Is basically, when you're going through and you find mentions of your site, remember, mention is your site being referred to, mentioned, but not necessarily linked. When you find that, you can write to the website and ask them to mm-hmm. link to you. Especially if you have a page that's somewhat relevant to what they're talking about on their page. Because remember, their secondary goal is to help people along their merry way on the internet. And so, if on your site, where they're mentioning you, you have something of relevance to continue, you write to that that website and you say, hey, why don't you turn this mention into a backlink and send them to this page.
And don't get discouraged if you don't get anything back. I've been doing this actually all week. building links for a client, and I think my average right now, although it's a short time to tell, is about 2 out of 10 might get back to me.
I think that's a pretty good number.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's statistically a pretty good number.
Good.
Yeah. And that might seem bad, but let's say our competitor isn't doing this, and so now you're getting 2 backlinks a week, and your competitor is getting none.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. You know. You got 2 that the other guy doesn't have. So.
Right, right. So well in done. A, right, in a year, you basically got 104 backlinks. You know. And then this sort of last one here is find submission opportunities. Earlier we were talking about search operators, you know, which is allowing you to search for specific things, like in quotes. That's something that people always use. And so, like, if you were to search for your industry and maybe the term write for us or submit an article or something like that, you'd be able to find industry-specific things for, I guess we're working off of plumbing here, where you're able to submit content to them, and by submitting them content, get a link back to your website.
Yeah, a great way to do this, if I've got time here.
You do.
Yeah, have a local event. Make sure, I mean, this is going to cost money, so you have to realize that right up front. Have a local event. It can be something as simple as a hot dog feed and showing what your business does. Then go out to all the community calendars in your area and say, hey, we're having this hot dog feed, free hot dogs, free sodas. That's a minimal cost, and you're getting these community calendars and maybe some local news organizations to link back to you.
Yeah.
Great way to develop links, and all for the cost of a couple hundred hot dogs.
Right, right, which is basically like, $3?
Yeah.
Especially if you go through Jake's email. And
yeah.
Costco. Get the 4th of July Costco.
That's right.
Discount coupon. All right. But, jokes aside, you're absolutely right. And really, if you want to get real tricky, you don't even actually really have to have an event. You could have some sort of, like, giveaway on your website where we give this away. We got 5 T-shirts, and we're giving them away on our website on August 8th. You know, come to our website, sign up. You can drop off a ticket in the front door. And we're going to give away 8 of these on social media after the fact. We're going to put it in all of the calendars that this is going on, and then we're going to share it on social media, and then we're going to put it out there, and then we're going to give them to people, and then we're going to share those on social media as well, people wearing our stupid shirt.
All that, and you're just getting rid of inventory you can't move.
Right, exactly. You know, so there's a lot of great opportunity out there for backlinks. You know, you just got to get creative and... Really, it's just like anything else. Picasso, what did Picasso say?
I like paint.
Good artists borrow, great artists steal.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, so, you know, just take what these other people are doing, tweak it for you, and get it out there. You're listening to The Being Found Show. Check us out next week. Check us out at beingfound.com. And get online.
That's right.
The news is...
The news is brought to you on KCNR at Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
I'll ag you in Washington. The U.S. economy has never provided more opportunities for Americans seeking to begin a new career than claimed coming from President Trump in his weekly media message.
Whether you're a high school student or a late career worker, there has never been a better time to learn a trade, hone a skill, and pursue your dreams.
The president says he's encouraging companies to hire and train more young people for what he calls the jobs of today and the careers of tomorrow. The raging Northern California wildfires were expected to keep the upper hand today thanks to a forecast that calls for two things, low humidity on the one hand and then gusty winds to stoke up the flames even more. So those hardworking crews battling the fires are bracing for the possibility the flames could be driven toward new areas and even threaten more homes. The National Weather Service has issued a red flag warning of extreme fire danger. Portugal and Spain have been sweltering under an intense heat wave that's produced near record temperatures in the southern European countries. Here's correspondent Karen Chavez.
Portugal has issued red alerts for extreme heat for more than half the country, with thermometers approaching 114.8 degrees. The hot, dry conditions have also led to several wildfires in Portugal. One of the biggest outbreaks in the southern Algarve region has burnt almost 2,500 acres of land. Spain also issued warnings of extreme heat for its southern areas, with temperatures expected to reach 113 degrees in several cities.
As correspondent Karen Chamis, officials in Virginia say a dam that overflowed on Thursday is currently stable, despite earlier predictions it was about to give way, but they want evacuees to still keep their distance.
We have been evaluating the condition of the dam. We've had engineers on site this morning looking at the dam itself, and we have determined that the dam is stable at this point.
Lynchburg Director of Water Resources, Tim Mitchell. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
A couple of very famous rocking chairs, once used by John F. Kennedy, were among the items sold at an Americana auction on Cape Cod.
One leather-upholstered rocking chair JFK used in the White House fetched $50,000 at Eldred's auctions. A cane-backed rocker he used in his private suite at Manhattan's Carlyle Hotel went for $42,500. Late president used rockers on the advice of a physician to help alleviate chronic back pain. 22 years ago, a couple of Kennedy rockers sold for more than $400,000 each in the auction of the Jacqueline Kennedy estate. Also sold at the Cape Cod auction, a set of pens with which JFK signed legislation, including the creation of the Peace Corps, they fetched $6,000. I'm Warren Levinson.
President Trump wants a space force, a new military service he says is needed to ensure American dominance in space. The idea of falling flat so far at the Pentagon, where the president's defense chief said it would add a lot of burdensome bureaucracy and expense. Breaking news at townhall.com. The Trump administration has dropped a two-year investigation into how ExxonMobil Corporation factors climate change regulations into how it calculates the value of its own assets.
The Securities and Exchange Commission says it will not recommend an enforcement action against the company at this time. Exxon faces separate investigations in New York and Massachusetts into allegations it misled investors about climate change issues.
Correspondent Dennis Crowley reporting. One survivor of the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history says it was gut-wrenching that Las Vegas police did not determine a motive for that rampage. Megan O'Donnell Clements of Wilmington, Delaware, said yesterday that not knowing why Stephen Paddock opened fire on that concert she attended back in October is horrifying. In fact, she says because of that finding, she lacks closure. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome to Radio Wasteland, the best show on the planet about the paranormal, government conspiracies, and all things in between. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my co-host, Sean. Sean, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, boy, how am I doing?
I don't know. I just asked you.
Yeah, it's a good question. So I'll just say that the name of our show has never been more apt.
Yeah, I think that's the truth.
We are radio coming to you all live from the wasteland.
It totally is the wasteland. For those of you who don't know, on the worldwide market, we are coming out of Redding, California, and around us 100,000 acres almost has just burned. So Sean is actually calling in from beautiful wet Washington, right? I don't know. Maybe we lost him. Basically, we didn't know if Sean would be able to call in. We didn't even know if we were going to be able to do this show tonight because it is just so brutally burnt around here, you know. And I kind of grew up as one of those kids who, you know, didn't have a lot of respect for my first responders in this world. But, man, to watch a problem and watch a bunch of people run towards it is really quite eye-opening on the situation. It's like you think about a cop and you think about me and you create a situation. Okay, there's a guy in there with a gun. Who's going to run in and take care of it? And I'm all, well, not me. So hopefully that guy. So I really have a lot of respect for these first responders. Sean, you there?
Oh, yes. I am back. Yes. So I am not actually in the wasteland currently.
You're...
I am coming to y'all from Squim, which is in Washington. And it has a cool breeze, and you can see Canada just right there across the channel, which, I don't know, makes me feel safe somehow.
Right.
So
nothing feels safer,
I'm
at least more polite than Canada.
Yes.
Right.
The home where I was living has almost certainly burned to a crisp, so that's
really
interesting. Yes.
Oh, really?
Well,
so
that entire neighborhood, really.
Oh, wow. So I didn't know this. I knew that you had evacuated. Well, you were gone, and then the evacuation order came through.
Exactly,
and
yes.
Back.
We were on vacation up in Washington anyway, visiting grandparents. And we were like, oh, boy, it's going to be smoky when we get back down to Redding. Isn't that fun? And then we kept listening to the news, and the fire kept getting larger. And then eventually we realized it makes no sense to go back down, even though that was our plan.
Right.
Stay here.
So
yeah.
You have a wasteland to possibly return to.
Pretty much, I think. That's fair to say.
Well, when and if you do come back, what we need to do is get a single lamp and a couch to put where your house used to be so that we can take a picture of you sitting on it.
Yes.
That would be awesome. We were actually had like a volunteer deal to evacuate, and we decided that we were going to evacuate, you know, just for a couple of days, just to get out of the mess, and if our house burned, well, then it burned. But we didn't have renter's insurance. So we called, we called and we got renter's insurance, and it kicked in at 12:01, which was like 6 hours later. So we sat around and packed up and waited till 12:01. And once the renter's insurance kicked in, well, then we cut out of town for a couple days.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know out there, it really only takes about 6 hours for your renter's insurance to kick in. So I would get it, you know. And it's it's cheap. It's so cheap.
Yeah, don't buy it till you need it, you know. It's all good.
Right, right, right.
This is a lesson you've learned on KCNR Radio.
Right, right. Well,
you know, why can't Redding... Redding's been in the national news, and it's like it's never in the national news for something fun. It's never, I'm here in Redding, California, where they've developed a new type of cotton candy that's 300% more delicious than the old type of cotton
right.
candy. It's, I'm here in Redding, California, where half of the town is burned to cinders.
Right, where it's hell on earth.
We're giving, yeah.
Yeah. And
you
really,
know, it's never fun.
Being hell on earth is really the only reason why we ever make it into the national news, because even... Even when we're not on fire, we'll make it into the national news sometime for just being incredibly hot.
Exactly.
Or for, like, people being abducted, or mm-hmm. just really terrible stuff. And, you know, I got to remind the world that while Redding is small, it is, you know, the only hub between, like, Sacramento and, like, anything going on in Oregon. So it's like, you know, you got to give us a little break here.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But, you know, I'm still just reminded of, you know, the recent It that comes out. And one of the trailers, the kid's like, Derry's not like any town I've ever been in. Kids disappear at three times the national average. And I'm just like, have you been to Redding?
Right. So you think there's a killer clown running around Redding?
I don't know what we have. It's quite possible.
Not anymore now that you're in Washington?
Yeah, well, I'm sitting pretty killer clown-wise. I have no fear of clowns.
Yeah, I really want to move to Washington, but my wife is all about the sun, and she needs the sun, and so she thinks it's going to rain constantly if we move up there.
Isn't your wife, like, the stereotypical goth individual, though?
Yeah, but she can't help it. She was, like, naturally born with, like, pale skin and black
hair.
With
the goth hair. Gene, yeah.
Right, right, to the point
but
where...
But it makes no sense to me that she likes the sun.
She loves it. Yeah, I don't know. You know, she's so... genetically gothed out that my kids and her friends used to call her goth mom when they were growing up.
Right. Which is appropriate.
It is appropriate. Yeah. Yeah. There was, we were at this
funny
club
goth.
One time and this,
weird.
This girl wanted to fight her over some line in a hot dog stand. And Terry's just all like, yeah, but we were here first. And this girl's all, whatever, Gothica. And Terry's all, what? You know, because she'll wear like a flower in her hair and like some flowery hippie dress. But still, she's Gothica, apparently.
Yeah. Then she would just like look like a goth wearing disguise.
Right. Totally. You're not fooling anybody.
Exactly.
Right. All right. So tonight, our guest, Sean, very exciting. You're probably just going to listen in on this one. But our guest tonight is returning. He's Rob Shelsky. He was here with us before.
Yeah.
I'm sure you remember where we did time travel
time
evidence.
Time travel fame.
Yeah. And tonight he's going to talk about his book, Invader Moon. So
right.
I'm not sure where your knowledge level is on the possibility that the moon was manufactured and not a naturally occurring body. But mine is pretty low other than knowing that it's a thing out there.
Well, we will be learning about this for the first time, just like all our listeners out there.
Yes, we will. You are listening to Radio Wasteland. When you come on back, we have our guest, Rob Shelsky, to talk about his book, Invader Moon.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
This is Carl Bott. My tuber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Holiday Harbor on Lake Shasta has it all for your summer fun. Looking to make great family memories this summer? Holiday Harbor has been named as one of the top 10 houseboat marinas in the nation, according to customers who come back year after year. Holiday Harbor has the best deals on the best boats. Houseboats, patio boats, fishing boats, ski boats, and then there's the toy box. Wakeboards, paddle boards, jet skis, and pool toys. We feature a great restaurant for breakfast and lunch. We are open 7 days a week from 8 to 4, Memorial Day to Labor Day. Have a great vacation without a long drive or airport hassles. Holiday Harbor is conveniently located just a mile off the freeway, exit 695. Go to lakeshasta.com or call 530-238-2383 to reserve your summer fun today.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our returning guest, author and researcher Rob Shelsky, before he was on here talking about the evidence of time travel, but this time we're talking about his book, Invader Moon. You there with us, Rob?
Yeah, I sure am.
How are you doing?
Not too bad. I hear you guys in Reading aren't doing quite so well, though. It's terrible, the fires you've been having.
Well, thanks to the firefighters, we're no longer really in immediate danger, but we definitely were, and it looked like the apocalypse around here for a couple of days.
Well, I'm glad the worst has passed, hopefully, and that you guys can get on with your lives again and that not too much damage was done.
No, yeah. Well, it's still burning out there for some of the outlying folks, but the bulk population is safe for now.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. I wish I could say for the people, say the same for the people on the moon.
Yeah. So this is a really fun topic for me because, you know, this is a new one for me. Probably like the last 2 or 3 years, I really sort of gained knowledge that this was even potentially a thing. And, you know, I was born in 1976. A year later, Star Wars came out. So pretty much everybody from my age on, you know, the idea of a moon being manufactured thanks to the Death Star where they're just all, that's not a moon, you know, really piqued my interest when the topic came up. But how long has this actually been something that, well, why don't you explain to us what the moon might be if not a naturally occurring satellite of our planet? Let's start there.
Well, okay, in my opinion, it is a satellite of sorts. I mean, I do believe the moon is a natural object that has been modified. That modification can either be through the use of caverns or lava tubes that existed on the moon and that were dug out even more, or that the moon could have been created to have a hollow center. And the idea behind that is not dissimilar to what Carl Sagan said with what we could do with asteroids, that they would make a much better space station than building one from scratch, much cheaper, much easier, and much more effective. Well, it could be that someone did the same thing with the moon, and there does seem to be evidence for that fact.
Okay, so let's go back to my initial question, and seeing how I just came around to really sort of grasping that this was potentially a thing like 3 years ago, I got to ask, like, how long has this actually been bounced around as a possibility?
Well, it's been the idea of the spaceship moon theory, which is what two scientists called it in the Soviet Academy back in the 1970s, around the time you were born, by the way. They came up with the idea that the moon might not be a natural object. And the reason they decided on that is because the moon has so many oddities about it that none of our theories seem to be able to give us a good idea of why the moon is even there. In fact, one famous scientist even said, it's easier to explain the non-existence of the moon than it is to explain its existence. I mean, it is that odd a body. It's probably one of the oddest satellites or planets in the solar system. For one thing, I mean, there's nothing about it that seems to be normal by comparison to other places. So that got them going, and they theorized that perhaps the moon had been moved into orbit and that it had been hollowed out, or at least partially hollowed out, and been used for a base. And oddly enough, the spaceship moon theory is the only theory of all five, or even if you want to count the other one, six theories of the moon, including the most recent, the impact theory that created the moon. It's the only one that answers all the problems we have with the moon, all these oddities. It alone actually satisfies every criteria for why the moon is there and what it's made of and the whole bit.
Now, the impact theory is what mainstream science is running with right now, right?
Right. It's the idea that a planet that they've named Theia, Mars-like or slightly smaller, impacted the Earth several billion years ago, close to the formation of the Earth itself. They were protoplanets, in that the two planets collided, debris was thrown up into orbit, and that debris eventually settled into our moon, and voila, we have our moon. But there are so many problems with this theory that another theory came out after it, which most people haven't given much credence to, and it's the georeactor theory, and that is that there's a great deal of radioactive material near the equator of the Earth. The Earth was spinning pretty quickly. There's a massive georeactor explosion, and that projected some of our mantle out into space, and that became the moon. Unfortunately, that theory, too, has a lot of problems with it, and they include all sorts of things like the current orbit of the moon, the speed of the moon's orbit, the right angular momentum factor, you name it, there are problems with it. There are with the impact theory. The impact theory doesn't explain quite a few things. That it explains some, but not all of the problems with the moon. For instance, if the moon came from an impact between the Earth and another planet, then there should be evidence of the other planet on the moon, since the moon was formed from both of the, you know, the debris of both planets. But there isn't. Oxygen isotopes on the moon show that it mostly seems to be made up of the Earth's mantle and not of anything else. In fact, we have no evidence for the planet Theia on the moon at all. It seems as if everything on the moon was formed from material from the Earth. Well, what happened to Theia? There must have been some debris that was thrown out into space. You can't collide two planets without having a major cataclysm, a catastrophe.
But that's a good point. The moon is very large.
There's nothing on the moon to prove it.
That's a good point. The moon is very large to not have some amount of debris floating out there, if that was the case, even here billions of years later.
Right. If there's debris from the Earth on the moon billions of years later, why isn't there debris from Theia on the moon? And yet none of our moon lunar landings have brought back any rocks that show the oxygen ratio isotope of anything other than the Earth. And that's quite a signature, because everything in our solar system has a different signature in that regard, including that's how we know when a meteorite's from Mars versus from the moon or from somewhere else, It is very reliable. And also, by the way, you referred to the moon as being very large. It's too large for its size. The density of the moon is too low, which has made scientists theorize that either it has no core at all or it has a very strange sort of interior that we are not familiar with, because the density of the moon is a good deal lower than the density of the Earth. Now, it's supposed to be made up of the same material as the Earth. So where is it? The moon also rings like a bell. You strike it and it rings like a bell, not just for a little bit, for hours. And that's another problem. It made some scientists say, including one from NASA, say that it raises the alarming possibility that the core of the moon is no core at all, that it's hollow. And this goes on and on and on. Plus, we have historical evidence for the fact that the moon might not have always been in our skies. And it seems to all date to just about 12,000 years ago, as if something happened then. And there is evidence in the historical writings of Aristotle, of Apollonius, of Anaxagoras. There's also evidence from tales and legends from the New World. There's even legends relating to the Great Flood that talk about the fact the moon was not in the skies before the Great Flood, but only appeared afterwards. This is a worldwide phenomenon. There are tales from tribes in Central and South America that preface their stories with, in those days before there was a moon. Aristotle referred to a people he referred to as the proselenes, the people who lived in Greece before his race did, and he called them proselenes because they were before the moon. The Mayans refer to a time when only Venus ruled the heavens and the moon was not to be seen. And in fact, the Mayan culture is very big on Venus. It figures prominently in their astronomy and in their religion. The moon doesn't at all, which is odd. So, also, we have no historical paintings of the moon or renderings of the moon that date back more than a couple thousand years ago. We can't account for that because there's paintings and drawings on cave walls and stuff by cavemen of Venus and of various stars, but of the moon, almost nothing at all, and nothing that dates back to 12,000 years ago. So this is very strange, too. And so there seems to be a lot of corroborating evidence for the idea the moon wasn't always in our skies.
So we got about 3 minutes till commercial break, but the argument from the mainstream science fans out there who are listening are going to hit the fact that, well, not the fact, but the idea that without the moon, it's suggested that life probably wouldn't have evolved on Earth because the moon protected us so much through the evolutionary process.
Right, and that is a theory that is rather flawed because we now have pretty good evidence that Mars was once very Earth-like a few billion years ago. Mars had an atmosphere. It had a lot of water. In fact, there's still water on Mars now. They just found a lake beneath the South Pole. And we also are pretty sure that life was on Mars at one time, at least microbial life. We have a fossil that has been recently tested again that came from Mars. In a meteorite, and it shows signs of it. We have seasonal methane on Mars, which seems to be what we have on Earth due to life. There's a lot of things now pointing to the fact that there must be at least microbial life on Mars. Well, if this is so, how did Mars manage it? Because it has two moons, yes, but they're tiny little things. They're hardly larger than asteroids, or actually not even as big as some asteroids. And these certainly had no effect on the evolutionary cycle on the planet or protecting the planet or keeping it even stable. And by the way, the angle of tilt of the planet Mars is not very dissimilar from that of Earth. And yet we think that without the moon, we'd be all over the place, rolling on our side and tilting very far, causing extreme weather patterns and freezing and melting all over, you know, repeatedly. Well, Mars doesn't seem to have undergone that at all, and it doesn't have our moon.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our first commercial break here. You're listening to Rob Shelsky, and we're talking about his book, Invader Moon. Was the moon manufactured? You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Remember, we'll have the dark.
purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Redding sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit. Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes. Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olzo Wet.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Rob Chelsky, and we are talking about his book, Invader Moon, and we're talking about whether or not the moon was manufactured. Rob, I got two questions for you. Let's hit the first one is, before the commercial break, you suggested that there were six possibilities of what the moon was, and we talked about three of them. One was that it was hollowed out to be used as a base. One was the impact theory. One had to do with an equatorial supervolcano or something like that. What are the other three?
Okay, the first theory of the moon, the one that came out pretty early on, was the theory of capture. And this was popular for a while. It was the idea that the moon was just passing by and Earth sort of grabbed it. That theory doesn't work at all because it doesn't explain the moon's current orbit. It really shouldn't have actually gone into such a nice circular orbit. It shouldn't have gone into orbit hardly at all. If it did, it should have been highly eccentric. Far more likely, the moon would have been shot out of the solar system and or the Earth along with it in another direction. So that was the problem with the capture theory. And then, of course, there was the theory of accretion. And this is the idea that the moon just sort of formed along with the Earth in the early solar system, and therefore it became stuck with us like a double planet system. Again, there's a lot of problems with that because it doesn't explain why the moon had such a small iron core, if at all, comparatively speaking to that of the Earth. This should have been much more proportional. The angular momentum is all wrong. And there's a number of other problems with it, so they kind of threw that one out. Then there was the theory of fission, and Charles Darwin is the kind of one who came up with this one. He said the moon, Earth was spinning really quickly, and there was a bulge at the equator, or at least on the Earth, and it finally the moon just broke free of it and went into orbit. And he thought the Pacific Basin was where the moon must have come from. Well, we've since learned that the Pacific Basin rocks are not nearly as old as the moon, and that there were giant continents, supercontinents on the Earth, and that the so-called hole wasn't there when the moon was formed or couldn't have been, so that was out. And also the oxygen isotope ratio of rocks on the Earth, as we now know, the moon, the Pacific Basin is far younger than that of the rocks on the moon. And then there was that geo-reactor explosion, which says you have a lot of nuclear material. There was a natural chain reaction, and it blew off, but it had to be right at the equator, which is another problem. You had to reach critical mass. You had to have a heck of a lot of this radioactive mass. It had to be right at our equator, and it had to just blow out just perfectly. And again, we can't get the orbit of the moon that we have now from this kind of star. Again, the right angular momentum is wrong with the moon. We just seem to keep on going. The impact theory, same thing. We should have material on the moon from Theia, and we don't. The crust of the far side of the moon is thicker than the crust of the near side of the moon. There's the top three layers of rock or soil on the moon are reversed. The densest material is on top, and then you have a lighter layer, and then a lighter layer below that. Our massive craters on the moon are very shallow, and they should be very deep, and the small craters are very deep. And this lends the idea to those two Soviet scientists, Vasin and Sherbakov, that there might be an inner shell of the moon, a metallic shell that is below the outer crust, and that the moon really is hollow inside. So there's a lot of other problems with the moon. The moon's orbit is too circular. It's the only moon in the entire solar system out of dozens and dozens of moons that is just at the right distance from the Earth to allow for the perfect solar eclipses with it. And also we even have it rises and sets along our horizon just as the sun does with regard to the vernal and autumnal equinoxes. So how is that possible? And what a coincidence. In fact, Isaac Asimov, a noted science fiction writer and also an author of many books on physics and astronomy, he talks about the fact that the moon was a miracle. And when scientists start saying that the moon is a miracle or a blessing, as one other scientist put it, you have to begin to wonder if it really was a blessing or a miracle or if it wasn't somehow placed where it was and it was altered in some way. And again, we have Neptunium 237 found on the moon. It has a half-life of less than 3 million years. On Earth, it's just in trace amounts because over 4.5 billion years, it all decayed into something else, which is what radioactive isotopes do. Yet there's a fair amount of it on the moon, and there shouldn't be any at all, but there is. There's titanium on the moon in a decent abundance. There isn't much titanium on the Earth at all. That's why it's rare and very expensive as metals go. It's also a very strong metal, very highly sought after. And this sort of thing goes on and on. We just simply cannot explain all these oddities about the moon. The moon has tons and tons of helium-3, an incredibly rare thing on Earth, but on the moon, it'd be great for mining. The moon has a long history of strange sightings on it. In fact, NASA commissioned a report that went back 500 years to about the time the telescope was invented. And we have a history of beacons, flashes, streaks, volcanoes. There are no volcanoes on the moon. And as far as we know, there hasn't been for millions of years. But observers were calling these things that glowed red for months at a time, volcanoes. again, there were beacons, tracks, mists, fogs, lightning, so-called volcanoes, you name it, this has been on the moon. In fact, astronomers refer to the Aristarchus crater as the blue gem, because that has had so many blue glows, blue flashes, blue beacons, blue mists, that it has earned the nickname not by laypersons, but by astronomers as the blue gem. And how can it be clouds on the moon and mists when there are no, or I should say when there is no atmosphere? How can you have lightning without an atmosphere? How can you have streaks and beacons and tracks going across the surface of the moon? Pulses, flashes, you name it, they've categorized, and they're still ongoing. NASA referred to these as transient lunar phenomena, but they are not transient. They have been going on for five centuries, and actually they've been going on longer than that. There was a report by Monk back almost 1,000 years ago about something strange happening with the moon, but NASA chose the 500-year period because, again, that's when the telescope had just been invented, so the results would be more reliable with regard to observations on the moon.
Yeah,
and by the way, they're ongoing now. We still see transient lunar phenomena now, and we simply cannot account for it. The moon as being a dead planet, no atmosphere, no and it has moonquakes. It has no tectonic plates. It has no magnetic field, so we don't think it has an active core, and yet the moon has moonquakes. Some scientists said, well, it could be tidal stresses from the Earth. But then when they calculated it, the moonquakes aren't occurring where the tidal stresses on the moon should be. The center of gravity on the moon is off compared to that of the Earth. The moon should have a terrible wobble to it. Earth has a wobble to it, and it's called the libration. The moon doesn't have that. It has no wobble at all, and they can't figure out why, because it should. And again, it rings like a bell when struck. When they dropped a landing gear on the moon or a rocket, it'll ring, and it'll ring for hours, which raises the question of whether it's hollow. Earthquakes on the moon don't seem to travel through the center. One scientist said it's as if the center was made of something that seismic activity can't travel through, or there's no center at all. This goes on and on and on. How do we account for all of this? Well, the spaceship moon theory by the two Soviet Academy members, there is this the only theory that accounts for all of this.
Now, this, I might be wrong with my numbers here. I'd be happy to be corrected. So I'm under the impression that the moon is about a third or a fourth the size of Earth, yet it has about one-sixth the gravity.
One-sixth of the gravity,
and but it should have higher
gravity. If you look
gravity.
At the moon, the width of the moon, as you look at it, is approximately the width of the United States. So that should give you a good visual idea of how big the moon
is. And what is that in comparison to Pluto?
But the density is too low. So as several scientists put it, either the moon's hollow or it's made of something quite different from the Earth, or the interior has to be quite different in material than the Earth, or there's no material at all there. Because they can't account for the low density. In fact, the density of the moon isn't a great deal higher than that of water. I mean, it is higher, definitely. But it is, if you put the density of the moon between the Earth and water, it's closer to water than it is to the Earth in density. And if it's made of the same material as the Earth, the mantle of the Earth, then it should be the same density. It's not. If it was formed by accretion, it should have an iron core in proportion to that of the Earth. It either has no iron core at all or a very, very small one. And they don't think it has an iron core because moonquakes don't travel to the center of the moon. They travel around the center as if, quote, unquote, of another scientist, the center were hollow. So this just, again, goes on and on. It's just I didn't believe in the hollow moon theory. I didn't believe that the moon might be the invader moon. In fact, I was on another radio show, and they mentioned it, and I just laughed it off and dismissed it. And then I began researching it, and I kept finding more and more oddities about the moon that we simply can't explain. Am I saying the moon is hollow? I don't know. I think it's an extremely plausible theory. And if you go by Occam's razor, if you have more than one explanation for something, you have to go with the simplest. The simplest explanation is the moon, although it may have been a natural object once, is so no longer and has been altered and or lunar-formed or terraformed, if you prefer, and that it has been placed in its current orbit and it wasn't there originally.
All right. Well, hey, Rob, this is a
something happened 12,000 years ago.
This is a perfect time for us to cut to our
moved into its present orbit.
Sorry, this is a perfect time for us to cut to our commercial break. You're listening to Rob Shelsky here on Radio Wasteland talking about Invader Moon. Come on back.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Locally owned KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio, is also home to local programming and local sports. Mondays at 6 p.m., Radio Wasteland explores the mysteries all around us with a team of researchers who dig deep into the unseen world. Thursdays at 6, it's Chris and Jen Gomez keeping you up on pop culture and entertainment with We're a Little Behind, KCNR, where you also get local high school football, basketball, and, of course, baseball with the Reading Colt 45s. KCNR 1460.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Rob Chelsky. We're talking about Invader Moon. Was the moon manufactured? Rob, how much, if any, of mainstream science actually entertains the possibility of this? And if so, what would getting an answer look like? How would we get an answer?
Well, of course, the simplest solution is to go back to the moon and explore it some more. We haven't been back in over 40 years, and there are many people who believe that we've been warned off. That's why we haven't been back, because even if the United States didn't go back, why hasn't any other country in the world gone and landed on the moon? They've sent a couple probes. The Chinese had very poor luck with their rover. It only functioned for a few hours. Most of what we do is we put stuff in orbit around the planet, but we don't go on the. I call it a planet because it is round and theoretically could be called that. Sure. But we don't land on the moon, and we haven't for a very long time. And yet our technology has advanced steadily. I mean, it was in the late 60s, 69, when we landed on the moon the first time.
Yeah.
And then we went on through to the 70s, but we haven't been back since then. And our technology hasn't advanced in the last 40 years. Why aren't we back on the moon? It should be cheaper and easier than ever to go to the moon. We keep talking about it, but nobody does it. Main scientists do not want to entertain the idea that the moon is hollow, although many have. There's a quotes by a number of them, including some members of NASA as well, that talk about the idea the moon may be hollow, that there's something strange about it, that it just doesn't fit all the categories, that it's easier to explain the non-existence of the moon than it would be to explain its existence. So there's an awful lot of people questioning it, but mainstream scientists are simply looking at the moon as if it were an object that's always been there because they don't know any different, and they proceed on that basis. Is the moon actually hollow? I don't know. It's a theory. Does it have evidence to corroborate it? Yes, in the form of physical evidence, in the form of the problem with all the other theories that none can actually account for the moon in a reasonable manner, and also in the fact of historical evidence. Plus, we also have geological evidence that something did happen on the Earth about 12,000 years ago, something big. Crown fires in North America, the loss of all the megafauna in North America, great flooding of the megalithic culture, the drowning of civilizations along all the coastal areas, fires. Something happened about 12,000 years ago, and I think it's given us a racial amnesia that we don't know what it was. Yet we do have historical records that talk about a time before the moon, stories of tribes that commence with before there was a moon, a Mayan culture that says there was a time before the moon. Romans talk about it. Greeks talk about it. Again, the Mayans and other tribes in Central and South America. This is worldwide. So is there evidence that the moon might be hollow? Yes. Is there evidence the moon might be an interloper or have been moved to a different orbit around 12,000 years ago? Yes, there is evidence for it. Is it a smoking gun? No. And the only way we can get a smoking gun is to go back to the moon and explore it and find out one way or the other. And I think we should go back. And yet, I also think we may not be able to go back because we might have been warned off.
Well, so the speculation of my science fiction, movie fan brain leads me to, if it happened 12,000 years ago, it couldn't have come from the Earth because that would just be absolutely catastrophic to life. So right. If something terrible happened
here, the
moon
may have come from the Earth sometime long before, and it may have been in a different orbit, and then someone came and changed the orbit and changed the interior of the moon and made it habitable for themselves. How do we explain mists and gas escaping from the center of the moon when there's no volcanic activity, no volcanoes on the moon, and we see no rifts or fissures on the moon that would produce this? How do we explain it when there's no tectonic activity, no tectonic plates, when there's no magnetic field that surrounds the moon like the Earth or any other planet, and therefore apparently its core, if it ever had one, has stopped moving, stopped rotating? So how do you explain that? I mean, there has to be an explanation, and current theories simply don't explain it. Then two scientists, and again, it wasn't me, it wasn't some conspiratorial nut, came up with it. It was two Soviet scientists, members of the Soviet Academy of Sciences, who came up with this idea. And so far, I haven't seen a standard model theory that explains everything that theory does. So going with Occam's razor again, I have to say, well, right now, I favor the hollow moon theory. And also, we've been talking about moving asteroids and hollowing them out. If we moved an asteroid into orbit around the Earth, it'd be worth, if it was a nickel iron-based one, it'd be worth about $9 trillion, which is greater than the entire gross national products of every country on Earth for 1 year. And in the process of mining it, you would hollow it out. And there is nothing safer to inhabit than an asteroid with a nickel and iron exterior. I mean, you're safe from solar flares. You could house up to 50,000 people in a smaller asteroid. It'd be a great city. It'd be completely shielded from the outside. Nothing that the sun could throw at it or anything else. You wouldn't even know it was there. There would be no electromagnetic radiation coming from it, no radio waves, no TV waves. It'd all be sealed up inside. You could live in there in a closed ecosphere for thousands of years. What's to say that some other race in some other solar system didn't do this and set sail on the cosmic sea, maybe thousands or even hundreds of thousands or even millions of years ago? They estimate there are more rogue planets between the stars than there are planets around stars. You could be utterly lost out there. No one would know you were there. You would have no sign or evidence that there was anything on you. You're just another rogue planet. So if there was another alien species that was your enemy, they wouldn't know how to find you. You could drift for thousands of years, enter another solar system, park your moon around some planet, Enjoy the warmth of the local sun. Maybe go down to the local planet. Investigate it. Explore it. Stock up on supplies that you might need after all those thousands of years in space. And then eventually maybe move on. Or you might want to stay and observe what's happening on that planet because there's life there. And by the way, there is one other planet that might have a hollow moon, and that's Mars. The moon Phobos has a density far too low for its size, and many scientists theorize it might be hollow. Isn't it odd that the two planets in the solar system, one that has life and one that might have had life, both might have hollow moons? Really coincidental.
Right, right. And, you know, maybe there's no such thing as coincidence, I guess. You know, like you were saying earlier, when they start using terms, when scientists start using terms like a blessing or it's a miracle, right? Yeah, you know that.
Or miraculous, right.
Right.
And you begin to wonder, well, are we talking about science now? Are we talking about fantasies, you know?
Right.
So,
well, we're here at the end of the show. I'd like to have you tell our audience a little bit more about how they can find out about you and where they can get a hold of your book, Invader Moon.
Sure. They can get my book through Permuted Press. It's also with Simon & Schuster, which I'm really proud of because one of the big six publishers. And or you can get it at online at Amazon Kindle. It's in print. It's in ebook format. You can get it, well, just Google my last name and it'll come up. I mean, anything you want by me is on Amazon, or just Google my last name, Shulsky, and it'll come up.
Yeah, well,
easiest way.
We really enjoy having you on the show. Every topic that we have you on, your brain, I don't know if you're just doing mad homework before each time you do an interview about your stuff, but, man, your brain contains a lot of information.
Well, someone asked me that once. They said, how do you come up with all these facts? And my answer was, I make them up.
I'm kidding. Well, at least you're honest.
I'm kidding.
Seems to work nowadays.
I research this stuff intensely, and that's why I tend to write books about it, because once you learn enough about something, you can write about it. But I have this fascination and curiosity for just about anything like this.
Yeah, well, I have an amazing memory for song lyrics and movie quotes that I've seen or heard 30 years ago, yet I can never remember to take the trash out. So it's like, I guess you
yeah,
remember.
Me neither, but then I try to forget that one.
Right, you remember what you love.
Right, exactly.
All right, you've been listening to Rob Chelsky here on Radio Wasteland. Thank you for...
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7.